The Dental Brief is brought to you by Omni Premier Marketing and the amazing guests who bring wisdom and advice that you can put to use to take your business and practices to the next level. Find us on Facebook and join the conversation. Get ready to grow because we are kicking off the next episode in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. Excited for today's guest. Obviously, we're based in Colorado here, neighbors to the north up in Calgary. Dr. Jay Patel, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for hosting me there.
Hey, we're glad to have you here. I think people need to check out your practice. The website's outdoor.dental. Fantastic domain. Check out the website. People know that I'm into this sort of thing, and you've really done a fantastic job. I think that's it's a website that people should look at and say, how can I really make myself unique like Dr. Patel has? I think they can get a lot from that. So outdoor.dental is the domain. Dr. Patel, let's get to you. Tell me, how did you become a dentist? What made you want to become a dentist?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the kudos on the website. Thanks. Yeah. It took a little bit of effort and we made that work. As far as why I got into dentistry, it's kind of funny. You know, as a kid, I actually was one of those random weird ones that loved going to the dentist. So when it came to going into a career path, I just thought, you know, dentists have a really, really cool job. And so I jumped in and got into dentistry. I really enjoy it. I still like it every day. I like working with my hands and helping people. So yeah, it's fun.
And I know you've got a healthy practice. Like I said, it's based in Calgary. Kind of tell me, what have you done to make your practice so successful? How have you kind of managed and run your practice to get to where it's at today?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty healthy competition in Calgary in general. So there's quite a few dentists. I don't want to say they're all doing the same thing, but when I open up my practice, a big thing for me, well, two things. One, I wanted to make sure the patient experience was phenomenal, right? I like to go into the dentist. That's why I got into dentistry. I wanted to make sure as many of my patients could come out feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. So that was one big thing. And then how I did that. So, you know, the website like that was one thing. And then I use technology. My big focus is using technology to improve the patient experience. And I feel like those two things have kind of separated me a little bit from the pack and made the practice pretty successful in a relatively competitive area.
That's fantastic. And I know one of the things that you've done over time is built a healthy sleep practice as well. I want to ask a lot of questions because I think a lot of dentists want to get into sleep health. And, you know, for multiple reasons, I think a lot of times it is profit driven. Everyone's always looking for ways to make their practices more financially healthy. I think some really struggle to make it work. And it probably ends up being a financial failure in the sense that the amount of money that they end up spending on education, marketing products, and to never really see that many patients. I think that happens more often than not. So tell me, how have you made your sleep practice what it is today?
Yeah, you know, I got into sleep kind of running COVID, actually. You know, I think like all of us, we were sent home for a few months and I just started doing some CE because I was bored at home. And sleep, that's where I really learned about sleep in the first place. And it just kind of hit home. I'm like, this is pretty cool stuff. You know, I could relate to a lot of it. Turned out I had sleep apnea. So, you know, I got myself into treatment. And as far as making it, how do I integrate it into the practice? It's sort of the same thing. I kind of followed the same steps I usually do. I thought about the patient and what they experience when they come in the office and what they would need or what they would expect, you know, to try and successfully kind of, you know, talk to them about sleep and get them into treatment if they needed it. One thing I find, and I get this question a lot, is like, well, how do you bring it up with patients? Why do you talk about sleep in a dental office? The website's a huge part of it, right? So when anybody that visits my site, they know I talk about sleep quite a bit. I don't know if it's Calgary in general or just, you know, the general population. I feel like they're more aware of sleep apnea in general. And so when I bring it up, they almost have more questions for me than I have for them a lot of times. I think part of it is the medical community is as good as they're trying to get on top of it. A lot of GPs aren't really that trained, you know, in it as well. So sure. I've had a lot of patients that come in and say, well, my doctor's never brought this up. Like what's going on? You know, we'll do a sleep test and, you know, we'll talk to them about it and they take it to their doctor. And then it kind of cycles. Once some of the local doctors realize that we do it and they want to know more about it, they start referring patients and it's kind of built up over the last few years. But I think the biggest thing was just making sure that when I brought it up with patients, they understood why I was talking about it, right? And then once they understood that, and my whole team is really good. So, you know, it starts off in the hygiene chair, and all my hygienists, they live and breathe that stuff too. And so when they bring it up with the patients, they, when I get to them, they've already kind of broken down that barrier. So they're just happy to talk to me about it. Sure. The other big thing is in Alberta specifically, we can administer home sleep tests out of the office.
Nice.
So a lot of dentists that I talk to, a big barrier is that they have to send the patients out for a sleep test and they don't come back, right? Those sleep studies are done and they get on a CPAP basically, right? And they might see them circle back a year later, like, this thing sucks. Like, what do I do? What are my other options? And then, they can go back into it, but that takes a long time, right?
Sure.
So the nice thing is that we can administer sleep tests. So that helps a lot in terms of getting those patients just in our workflow, right? And keeping them in the office. And then we offer other kind of adjunctive treatments that maybe are more relatable to patients. So snoring treatment's one thing. We use a Soleil laser to treat snoring, and I advertise for that directly. And then they come in strictly for snoring because it's a quick, easy treatment that they expect almost a dentist to be able to deal with. And then I start talking about sleep apnea and be like, you know, that there's a relation there, and then it snowballs from there as well. So just bringing patients in from different avenues and making sure they're happy with the outcome.
So I know a dentist that advertises Botox at a really, really low price. And what he's done that's very different than a lot of practices. A lot of practices take on Botox because they're like, oh, I'll treat my current patients, right? And it'll become a profit center. But he actually offers and advertises a low price Botox, which brings in non-dental patients for Botox that end up becoming his dental patients. Are you seeing the same thing happen with sleep? You mentioned medical referrals from physicians. Are you seeing that happen too, where you're actually getting cleanings, cavities, crowns from people that come in originally?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the biggest one, like kind of like Botox, right? It's a general problem. Like everybody kind of wants that sort of fix for certain particular reasons.
Right.
Snoring for us is that kind of that hook, right? Advertise the snoring. You know, I don't know. I would say at least in my family, like almost half the people in my family snore, right? So, yeah. You know, we get a lot of patients coming in specifically for that. And then when they see the office, we don't treat them any different. We want to go through the whole process. They learn to love us, and they come in for those cleanings, checkups, fillings, crowns, you know, whatever else they might need, especially with the sleep side of it. If we get going down that road and do a dental appliance, you know, we always do an exam and we want to make sure that their dentition's healthy. If they need a crown or this or that before that appliance, you know, they're happy to get that done because they want that sleep appliance above all else kind of thing. So yeah, it's definitely helped build up not just my sleep practice, but the whole office in general.
Yeah, that's awesome. So kind of a tricky question here. As you started to build some volume in helping patients with sleep apnea, what were some kind of challenges that you faced? Like, what are some things that you're like, oh goodness, now we've got these patients and how do we treat them all? Or how do we take care of them? How does this process or this flow, or what do these SOPs look like? What are some challenges that you had there? And then how'd you get over those? What'd you do to fix them?
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is, well, for me anyways, was it's totally new, right? I had to do all my training at the beginning. They didn't teach you this stuff in school. And then I had to get the team on board. So the biggest hurdle at the beginning was just education and feeling comfortable that I knew what I was doing to treat these patients, right? You know, I know now, like looking back, like sleep apnea, relatively significant, you know, disease, and you want that treated. But I wanted to make sure I was doing the best for the patient, irrespective of the practice at the time, right? You know, a few years in now, I feel very comfortable treating sleep apnea, but it took a lot of time. And the biggest thing was getting the team on board. I think doing sleep on my own wouldn't work. I just couldn't do it. I have all my assistants, my admin, my hygiene team, like the entire team knows their role and how to treat sleep patients. And right. That took a lot of training, right? So I went to several courses. I took the whole team to a lot of sleep courses. Like you mentioned earlier, it's expensive, right? So that's a big hurdle to get into. Because it kind of hit home with me at the very beginning, I knew I wanted to get into it, so I committed to it and then just had to find a way to make it successful in the practice. And the biggest thing for me was getting the team on board. And then as far as treatment, I did a lot of research at the beginning just to find, I like to keep things simple. You know, I find things that are simple get integrated much easier, especially when you're incorporating the whole team. So I found, you know, solutions for sleep that I could incorporate simply with the stuff I already had in the office.
Sure.
I have a digital scanner, you know, I've got a CBCT. That all really helped educate the patients for one. And then just that digital workflow works really well with sleep. So it was very easy and I'll say painless for the team to just kind of take that next step and incorporate that. So I think the biggest hurdle was for sure getting the team on board. And once they were, and they love sleep more than I did, right? Then it just really built up really easily after that.
Yeah. To incorporate this, if you're thinking, hey, I want to get into sleep.
Yeah.
And one of the drivers is you're trying to make your practice more profitable, which I think is a conversation that some people don't necessarily want to have, but it's, I think, one that you need to have. If you're not making what you need to continue to treat your patients, you need to figure out how to do that. How many patients per month do you think you need to see and treat for sleep in order to make it worth it? So does that make sense? So before you invest in the CE, before you invest the time and the efforts and training your teams, what's the minimum amount of patients you think you need to treat per month to make this work?
Like actual like successful treatments where like delivering appliances,
you know,
every practice is a little bit different right on size and scope, but you know, like my target's definitely doing that kind of 5-ish range, you know, like trying to do like one a week for sure. Delivering those types of appliances. You know, if you want to talk numbers, it's definitely doable, right? Depending on how many hygiene chairs and how many patients you see in a day, you know, the stats are at least 1 in 4 have sleep apnea, right? So if you can talk to, you know, let's say you're seeing 20 patients a day, you know, 5 of them were sleep patients, right? And that's just in one day. You can probably screen them, get them tested. And if even one of them goes ahead with treatment, you know, that's just one per day, you know, and then, I understand that, you know, everybody can talk numbers and say, that sounds great. But then in practice, is it actually, do you actually get one a day? I don't. Yeah. Right. So, but, you know, I think it's easy when you know it's that kind of fruitful there, you can get the numbers that you need if you invest the time, right? So you have to be able to talk to those patients. You have to be able to educate them. You have to be able to get them sleep studies and you have to get a network. Actually, you know, kind of going back to your previous question, another big hurdle for me was incorporating the medical community, because you have to, at least in Alberta for sure, the diagnosis and treatment has to be quarterbacked by the physician.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to incorporate that network. And so building that can be hard. Again, I was lucky in Calgary, maybe we have a really big sleep community already. So when I got into it, there was a network and I was able to kind of just jump in and kind of land my feet and get going right away. But you want to be able to have a big network like that. And so, you know, I think once you establish that, all that, those little pieces, you can easily do, 4 or 5 cases a month, you know, depending on what you charge for an appliance, if it's anywhere near a CPAP, right, that can easily pay off any training in a couple months. As far as downtime in your office, you know, chair time, you know, sleep doesn't take up any more time in my chair than say a crown would, you know, a Cerec crown, like an office crown.
Sure.
So, you know, and considering the fee and everything like that, we get on top of it. It makes sense for us. The lab fee is obviously higher, but you know, we charge a higher fee. And so we can make the numbers work. It hasn't taken over my practice by any stretch, but you know, it's definitely, I noticed the benefit in the numbers and the financial side of it. My practice has grown with my sleep practice being added to it in the last 2-3 years for sure.
Yeah. And I want to make something clear too. When I talk about profits and let's talk about additional revenue real quickly.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to realize when you do have additional revenue streams in your practice, it doesn't always mean that maybe your net income is going to go up. Maybe you don't care about your net income, but it can mean your team's net income can go up, right? It means that you're always, that you have cash to pay for the newest technology.
Yep. Or your practice value itself, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking patient care, like incorporating this into your practice and making this happen and doing it the right way can mean that patient care across the board goes up for everybody, including people who don't have sleep apnea. And there's a few people out there that don't have it. Yeah. There's a couple. So I want to thank you again for coming on the program.
Yeah.
Check out website. I'm sure you're good with dentists connecting with you on LinkedIn. If they have any questions, good way to reach out there. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anytime to help.
Yep. And again, check out the website. It's really awesome. You did a great job putting this together. It's outdoor.dental. It's that simple, outdoor.dental. It's great. Dr. Patel, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick.